Hello, I'm Alberto Salvato. Welcome to Crime Time, a Virginia criminal law podcast. I'm here with Anna Dvorak, Anthony Norse, and Ann Thayer. Enjoy the show.
So here it is, legal disclaimer, because we are lawyers and we've got to write one. So if you are listening to this podcast, thank you. We sincerely hope you are listening to this podcast for its entertainment value and not with the intention of acquiring legal advice for any individual case or situation. I mean, come on, you wouldn't take advice from someone you have never met or spoken to directly, right? If you were bleeding profusely, you wouldn't listen to a podcast in hopes of a bandage somehow materializing over the internet and onto your 3D printer. Seeking actual legal advice can be just as important as a tourniquet. The hosts of this podcast are in no way intending to create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. Sorry, we are sure you all are great people, but we cannot stress enough how little we know of you and your case. And rather than risk an awkward moment, let us just remember we have never met. Nothing on this platform should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. We are just a group of friends with differing opinions and viewpoints, which we will try to explore through discussions of current events, law changes, and whatever else floats our fancy.
In this episode, video shooting prankster gets shot. Now what? Many of you have heard that in a recent incident in a local jurisdiction, Loudoun County, a YouTuber who was filming one of his pranks ended up getting shot by one of his quote-unquote victims. And, of course, the person who shot the prankster was arrested for aggravated malicious wounding because the prankster did not die, thankfully. So what I thought this was an interesting topic to discuss because there's so many different elements and so many different angles to this. I don't necessarily think we have to go into the statutes that are involved, but just have a discussion maybe from both sides of the story as a defense attorney and a prosecutor. So obviously, I think the clearest issue, yes, somebody should have been charged, and probably the first person to be charged is the one who actually shot the other. So so I think that's done right. But what do you guys think?
Well, I think he got a few charges. It was aggravated malicious wounding, use of a firearm, and commission of a felony, and then discharging a firearm within the building. So the guy that shot got those charges. And then the articles I saw were that the prosecutor was weighing all the evidence and video footage to determine if they were going to charge the prankster who ended up being shot.
Right. Apparently from this, it's not, and nothing is ever cut and dry, but, and I've never seen this. I'm just going by newspapers and what I've read. So this is nothing more than just an opinion, but it seems as if this prankster who's got several thousands of followers on YouTube, I think it's 40,000, was getting up close to this individual. And even though the individual told him to get away from him several times, the prankster just kept getting into his face or maybe his, you know, personal space. And I don't think it was just a quick 1-2-3 second interaction. I think it was something that probably was extended. Not that it justifies shooting an unarmed man, but I wonder if things would have been different if this person had just swung at him and hit him with his fist. We don't know because we haven't seen the video, but just for discussion's sake, what if this person just punched the prankster in the mouth because he wouldn't leave him alone and he was encroaching on his personal space?
I'll answer to that question, but first I'm going to, there's a lot of assumptions that you've made about how long this must have taken. I mean, People don't like their personal space being invaded by total strangers. And if a total stranger jumped up in my face with a phone and I didn't know them, it would be pretty, actually very unsettling and kind of scary.
Sure.
And I might have touched him and pushed him because I was afraid. And, you know, I think basically we've talked about this in other episodes, but you can defend yourself even if someone doesn't touch you. If they're in your face, if they do something to make you feel that you're being assaulted, assault isn't a touching. It's just you're put in fear that someone's going to touch you offensively and not in a good way. You can push them away from you. You can protect yourself. Can you pull out a firearm and shoot that person? Probably not, because you have to use the force that is commensurate with, you know, with what you've been attacked with. And somebody videoing you with a phone out of the blue doesn't normally end up with you shooting them. So I think self-defense would not be a defense here. But I think a lot of people would agree or are uncomfortable with somebody just people just coming up to them in the middle of malls and getting in their face and doing things like this. And, you know, I could definitely see other people reacting the way this gentleman did.
Right.
Well, I don't know what he did on this particular date, but it says the guy plays pranks in public, like taking people's groceries from their shopping carts or pretending to vomit in an Uber. And then he felt like filming it. So like, depending on what he did, I mean, if you're puking on people or, you know what I mean, spitting, or I don't know. I don't know what actually happened. I don't think any of us do till they release footage.
That's why I think the real culprit here is social media. People yep. trying to get all these likes, which is why I'm going to get off of social media altogether.
Well, oh my gosh, Tony, and you are so much of a presence.
That's like a one-click ordeal for you. And that's basically closing our podcast screen on your computer. And that's your exposure to social media. But you do bring up a good point, because I do watch a lot of these TikToks and YouTube video shorts or YouTube shorts. I don't know what they're called, but I will admit I laugh at a lot of these pranks, but there's different types. Some of them are much more intrusive, and some of them are actually intended to embarrass individuals or even scare them to death, basically by pretending that there's somebody. I've seen people coming out like they're aliens dressed up in really convincing outfits. And imagine if somebody got scared, believing it was someone who's going to hurt them, and then shot that person. It's almost like one of the things that's like, wow, this was bound to happen at some point. You know, it's some of these pranksters take it to a next level.
But this is also, it does have, I mean, we hear this more in a swatting situation, you know, where people are set up, like these are really mean pranks, and sort of they send the police to someone's house.
Yeah.
And we've all heard about swatting, and the people that do that, they get charged, you know, because often the police come in and they shoot, someone's not expecting them and they shoot them, and they pull a gun and the police pull guns, and it's never a good ending. And not all swatting situations end up with someone dead, but the chances are extraordinarily high that someone's hurt or injured and badly. So these types of pranks, I mean, have been happening forever. The idea, like Jackass, the movie,
people
have been doing things like this, candy camera, but to get a rise out of people. But I mean, for practical purposes, the idea of jumping up in front of somebody and doing what this kid does seems really unsafe.
Right. But I think there's, like you said, there's a difference. I think Candid Camera, from my memory, even though that show is extremely old, they were never putting people in fear of physical harm. They weren't approaching them and making them feel concerned in any other way. They may have tried to make them look stupid or just ignorant of what's going on. They were just tricking them. And Jackass, if I remember correctly, the majority of those pranks involved pranking each other or doing something on some sort of physical act that would hurt themselves, or they would just punch one of the group. I think one episode they dressed up like a grandpa or something like that, and went out there and just tried to make fun of people, but it's completely different. In this, and I'll go back to like what I watch, and I know this is juvenile, but one of the funniest TikTok like pranksters I've seen is a guy who just walks by random people and with a fart machine makes this huge fart sound and walks away. He doesn't do anything as far as approaching them or reaching towards his victims, but he just makes this fart and just they video the reaction to this sound. That's different, in my opinion, than what apparently happened in this case.
Well, the description that Anne made of all of his pranks, and his dad always explains, well, he does these things, but it's all in good fun. And I was like, well, you know, we all have a different definition of what good fun is. You're right. Pranks have evolved. And as long as there's TikTok in some version, right, aren't we going to get TikTok video? They banned other types of TikTok, but you can have, I don't know, there's going to be new things. We've had reels. We have other things where people can get attention. We're going to always have people for pushing the limits like this.
But the prankster has no remorse for his own actions, because he says, I was playing a prank and a simple practical joke, and this guy didn't take it very well. And then it says in the article, he doesn't plan to stop anytime soon. So I don't know what the joke was or what his prank was. I guess we'll find out more as this case, you know, goes
forward. But it definitely involved like him jumping in this dude's face and trying to video him, because I know he had his camera in his face. That's what it's one of those things that's just not funny, right? It's like the pretending to vomit outside the car or do those things. It's just not actually funny. And maybe I just have no sense of humor because I'm old. Like, not as old as Alberto or Blake, who was guest starring for us.
I can agree that you have no sense of humor. So let me see here.
There we have agreement.
We lost Chris and Blake, and we're back to Alberto and
Anna. You know, Alberto, they really missed us. I mean, Tony had to talk the last time. I heard he was very vivacious.
I'm beginning to think that he doesn't talk because I'm on them when I'm on it. So
he's offended by you and your jokes.
I have no comment.
All right. So here's what I'm reading, this article in the Washington Post, and this is straight from the prosecutor who handled the bond motion. He says that the behavior of the prankster was quite troublesome. That being said, however, simply the defendant in this case was not justified in actually using or even withdrawing or his weapon. But that leads me to believe that clearly there was something that looked really bad from this prankster. Of course, I don't know, but
what
you
kind of get described in other articles, though.
It is. My understanding is that there were three people there. I don't know if this individual saw the other two who were filming this. Probably not. I understand that this guy, and I kind of feel bad for the person who did this shooting. He's trying to work. He works apparently for DoorDash. He's picking up some food. He's trying to get into a mall food court, get the food out to deliver stuff. And then you have somebody who just doesn't leave him alone, keeps following him and keeps getting in his face. There may have been some sort of fear there because you don't know if this guy, what he's going to do. Why is he being so, adamant about getting in his face? So it's kind of like, I can see where it's going. And, you know, I understand the YouTuber's father's out there angry that he may get charges, but I mean, what if this prankster actually did put his hands on this individual first? The fact that he got shot doesn't mean he can't get charged with assault.
That person has PTSD. What if they'd been through an assault before? What if they'd been in combat? What if there's all these questions about, especially think about even since COVID and the pandemic and how people are around each other in closed spaces. If people are sneezing and cough, you know, you had people back during COVID when people were dying and everybody was really scared that were fake coughing and fake spitting and doing silly things. Like, that could have led to things, you know, people, I think in this day and age, especially with video everywhere, you don't know how people are going to react. You don't know somebody, where they came from, who they are. And by doing that, you're putting yourself in danger, notwithstanding whether the person was right or wrong in doing what they did, which clearly pulling a gun on somebody that gets in your face when it's not at your home in a dark alley, you know, something, you're in the middle of a public mall, right?
Right.
There's a bad choices on both sides here. But I think probably what troubles me most is the way that he's actually described as a prankster, because pranks are actually like, when I play a prank on somebody, it's somebody I know, like Alberto. I know he can't take a joke. He's going to shoot me. No, we do lighthearted pranks on friends that we know. I don't like just go up to random strangers in the mall. I mean, first of all, this is Virginia. We love our guns. I'm not going to walk up to somebody and piss them off who I don't know who could easily have a firearm, you know, and lose her cool and shoot me. Why would I do
that? Joey and I scare each other all the time. We hide, like I'll hide around the stairs or in the other room or like under the table. Like he does, like we get each other randomly. Like if that was just a random person, you could react, you know, and we scare the crap out of each other. We both like scream, right?
Yeah, that's and funny.
It is funny. And we record it sometimes. Most of the time it's a last minute thing. So I don't have my phone ever ready. And then I miss all the squeals,
yeah.
which sucks. Every once in a while.
I just have an image of Joey squealing. Well,
he gets me sometimes, too. But like, I mean, the part, that's like knowing somebody and knowing what that reaction they're going to, for that split second, they're going to be like, oh. But doing it to random people, you take victims as you find them, but like in a criminal or civil context, like, isn't that the same if you're playing a prank on somebody and they react poorly to your prank?
Yeah, the eggshell theory, right? Like if you happen to hit somebody in the head and you have a, you know, eggshell for a skull, you're responsible for breaking that skull.
Self-defense, I mean, is a subjective defense, right? Wonder if the mental health statute, right? Like
the intent,
not the NVRI, the intent, like, so, and also just your, like, we might call it an overreaction or inappropriate, right? But if you,
but it's no more force than necessary to repel somebody. I mean,
right. But if you have, let's say you have PTSD and somebody doing that triggered that and you have that condition, is the force that you believe as a subjective person, I believe self-defense and is subjective. It's not an objective standard. It's not the reasonable man standard. So,
but that goes into a,
that's going to go into his defense. Yeah. If you're Coley's defense attorney, the guy who's charged. Yeah. Like, you're going to start looking at those avenues, right?
Because of course. And you're going to put as much blame as you can on the prankster. And you're going to say, look, this is obviously you shouldn't do this. And he instigated. There were three people there. How could he, you know, this guy was just relentless, just trying to get at him.
I could see a jury get hung on this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a hard case to as a Commonwealth attorney, not to try. You might decide, I'm not going to try it on aggravated. I'll try it on malicious, right? Because aggravated is 20 to life. So you try it on a lesser charge just because you're thinking, I think you shouldn't be shooting people in public malls, but right. I also don't think this guy should be exposed to life, right?
And I don't think the prankster should be making a lot of money or get monetized because of this action. And unfortunately, what's going to happen is hit followers are going to go from 40,000 to 400,000 or a million because, hey, he's the prankster that got shot. And it's just going to increase this idea that you could just go out there and do whatever the hell you want to anybody, whenever you want to do it, put somebody in danger, embarrass right. the hell out of them, and not give them any of the money. Because well, even
it is just, it's definitely going to encourage.
Right.
It's going to encourage poor behavior one way or the other. I mean, because regardless, the guy gets getting attention. People are Googling him now. They're getting hits. They're looking at it. He's probably already gotten an increase in traffic. That's the thing that we all have to struggle with in the world of social media, in the world of what people are willing to pay for, what's being monetized, where the ads are, all these things. It's a brave new world and not that great of a world. I have to say, like, I could see a jury end up hung on this charge.
Yeah, I can see it. Or finding him, you know, okay, so aggravated malicious wounding is going to have several different lesser included. Like it could be unlawful if he actually, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a type of case that, you know, I'm sure Mr. Cole
could end up in assault. You could end up with a plea on an assault because of the victim's own actions.
Right. It's troubling. And I think public opinion is going to be split on this. I think in a broader context, pranks are not going away, but I really don't. I think that the media and the courts shouldn't consider what happened a prank. When you come up to a total stranger and do things like this kid does, that's not a prank. It's just really obnoxious behavior and it's unsettling and it freaks people out. And it's not somebody you know. It's not lighthearted. It's just you trying to make a buck out of other people feeling uncomfortable because
you're,
it just is. It's not like the guy, you know, the guy that we talked about that video with the guy at the jail, right? He's coming up trying to video outside the jail in Alexandria. That's different.
Yeah, I remember that.
He is getting attention, but he's making a point about what are my constitutional rights? I live in a free society. I should be able to videotape the jail, right? He's exercising those rights, but he's not doing something like trying to freak out the deputy.
Right. And I remember bringing up the point, yeah, even, you know, one could say he was instigating the confrontation with the officer, but he wasn't instigating a confrontation with the officer by tapping or by putting a phone in his face and approaching him, doing, you know, putting that officer in fear of injury. Well,
but officers are also trained differently than a random person could be right. That's just out, you know?
It's just that weapons are so accessible right now. People have them on their body all the time. And if something gets really crazy like this, out comes the gun.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're anywhere in Virginia, I will assume that most people are carrying a gun.
I'd like to talk about what some of the comments that I'm seeing in these articles coming from both the prosecution, the Commonwealth attorney over in Loudoun County. And it seems that the prankster's father has a lot to say. The first thing I'm going to say is I think everyone should just not say any statements on this case. I think the best response is no comment, even though what I'm seeing from the Commonwealth attorney's office doesn't necessarily offend me because from what I read in this article, she has said everything that is pretty much spot on.
You're assuming the article's correct too. I mean, that's that reporter's take on whatever they saw or interviewed or, you know what I mean?
I'm assuming that these quotes are not fabricated.
Saying not fabricated, but it's like you see an accident happen. Everybody has a different understanding of what happened in it. It's, you know, we've all heard things being said and that may not be what actually was said. Like you tell a story and maybe somebody caught something you didn't catch. I'm just saying, like, I wasn't there. I don't know what actually was said.
So this quote that looks to be attributed to the Commonwealth attorney over in Loudoun County is, we are also looking at charging the victims of this matter. Why does she say victims?
Because there was somebody videotaping it with the guy.
There was more than one person there.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that for the brandishing? Is that, was there a brandishing charge? Or did two people didn't get shot that he tried
there's
to shoot
a reckless discharge. So if there's a reckless discharge, you could assume that anybody in the mall would be a victim.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But the only people has to be the people with him. I mean, that's what you have to assume. Why would you charge somebody who is not with things?
Well, and that's what You're right. You're right. But that's what kind of makes me.
I know I'm right.
Yes, I know. Once in a while I say it. But the fact that she says victims makes me believe that there's a chance that there were more people approaching this guy, putting him in more fear. Because if it's just one guy shoving a face, what, you know, I know.
Or you got to think about a mall setting. At the mall, people are walking around and surrounding you in all different ways. So if somebody's getting in your face like that and there's other people around, maybe they were watching because he was videotaping and he didn't realize they all weren't together and he just thought they were all coming out. I mean, you don't know what he perceived happening to him at that moment, right? Like, until he testifies or tells his side, you won't know those things.
Right. Well, over here, I just looked at it. Supposedly, according to the Washington Post, the prankster approaches the shooter in the mall food court area, gets close to him and follows him for about 60 to 90 seconds. So it's not an instant thing. It's something that obviously for a minute and a half, which is a long time to be harassed by somebody. It's very uncomfortable. I would say that because Anne has done that to me for 30 seconds, and that's really uncomfortable.
There's also comments from the public.
Like, wait, what did you say? I didn't even hear what you said. Were you being mean?
I was.
So Alberto, thanks for just going through the same article over and over again. But I found an interesting comment that the cooks, which is the name, the last name of the person that was alleged to be shot, they've received numerous threatening messages since the shooting saying he deserved to get shot because of his prank videos. Your son deserved to be shot because he was harassing, assaulting others in public. There are millions of us out there. Don't mess with us. Well, like, oh my goodness.
Okay. So then don't go on and tell people that your son's got a First Amendment right to say this and that and then bitch about people who are utilizing or exercising their First Amendment right to tell them exactly what or how they feel. Hey, you put yourself out there, expect to get responses. I mean, this YouTuber, I'm sure, was getting responses like that. Hey, if you ever prank me, I'll kick your ass. It's that way. And yes, I repeat the same thing out of the same article because I read the Washington Post.
I do too, but sometimes you have to go to these crazy places like Fox News to get real, where the real story is from. And that's where those posts were posted. All I'm saying is I am a really safe person. I'm very risk averse. I don't go up to strangers. I don't harass them. I think everyone probably has a gun and will shoot me within a moment's notice. I just assume that about every stranger I meet. And then that way I don't punk them.
Live your life. You really assume everybody has a weapon is going to shoot you?
Right. Also with Alberto, I realize he doesn't have a weapon and I will attack him mercilessly. No, but
I said that she's also given me that advice to be careful while I'm driving because people might decide they want to shoot me.
Joey tells me that too when I get mad when people are driving crazy. Like, you don't know what they're going to do to you. I'm like,
did this guy get bond or no?
Coley, I don't think so. Let's look on the website.
Oh, here in the Washington Post article, it says he did not.
Look on the court site. It'll show you if he was.
That's an old article. He got shot a while ago.
Was it a juvenile or an adult? I forget.
It's an adult. He's 31.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah. Yeah. It was a juvenile.
It'll say if he's in custody or not.
There was quite a picture of him.
Of the YouTuber or the?
No, both of them.
There's a picture of the YouTuber here, too.
No, it says he's still in custody, according to the court website.
Look, I feel bad for everyone involved. I feel really bad for the guy who is now charged.
I feel bad for those guys.
I get it. It sucks. He shouldn't have done it. I feel bad that the prankster got shot. But part of me is like, this was bound to happen. You know, it's like, this has gotten ridiculous.
But that brings up a whole other issue, which is you're going to have people saying you need to be harsher too, or not as harsh to the shooter because people doing these social media pranks deserve like what comes to them if you're going to engage the public like that. And then you have the other coin, which is you don't have a right to use essentially deadly force to get someone away from you when it hasn't risen to that level of contact. And, you know, again, you've got two sides of that. And then you start a whole firearms discussion too with different people. You have a right to protect yourself. You don't. Like, there's too many firearms. I mean, there's so many different arguments that are going to stem from this. And it puts pressure on prosecutors as they decide, what are we charging? Who are we charging? It puts pressure on trying it to a jury, to a judge, and a judge take a plea agreement on it. You know, is the plea agreement going to be accepted if there is one that's even worked out, right?
But,
and then what do you do about Fifth Amendment rights and things if they do charge the prankster as well as this guy? You know, I mean, there's all sorts of different, maybe they work out in the court and satisfaction. I don't know.
You know what's going to happen now? Oh, do you hear that? I just saw another link over here from the past. Of course, this is just on the internet. Everything on the internet may not be true. But apparently some woman is coming out now that she was traumatized by this prankster just a week before at a mall. So I think you're going to, what's interesting, a defense attorney's got a lot of film, a lot of documented acts from this guy that probably is going to help the defense.
Well, and then that comes to, if it goes to a jury, getting a jury set that has enough people on it that haven't heard or been influenced by things, right?
But you know, and I just thought of this too, but you know how, I mean, we have laws against cyberbullying. People are being protected from that, but there's nothing protecting people from being harassed in public and then having their image put on.
But do you want there to be a law about being harassed in public?
I mean,
not in Virginia. There are some states where there are harassment laws, which, you know, it's sort of like kind of like our disorderly, but not really.
Right. Yeah. You're right, Anna.
It's always that link between the First Amendment, right? Like we talked about with the deputy versus being in someone's face. But, you know, anytime you touch somebody, you cross a line. Like if somebody I don't know touches me, the line is crossed, right?
Well,
they're doing stuff that's.
But Anne, how about this? I know that you were raising the issue as far as, you know, you don't want to have that regulation and what you could do. But what if somebody took your picture walking down the street and then profited from that by putting your face up on YouTube and selling products or whatever?
Of course they would profit because it was Anne.
You're in public. Yeah. I mean, unless you're a public figure. And even then, I think they can, right?
Can they use your image?
They can't say your name.
Not to profit necessarily, right. Depending on what they're doing. Like if they're selling products or things like that. But I guess it comes
down to fair use. If they take a picture of like a crowd scene and you happen to notice somebody in there, like you don't have to ask permission of
person. Yeah, I get that.
And they sell newspapers, right? But like, I think.
But if you're going around and you are being filmed for the filmer's purpose to make money, which is what they're trying to do on YouTube. They're trying to monetize their sites.
Right.
Don't you think that there should be some release from the person that they're filming?
So maybe, but here's my thing in this case is that I agree with Anne that we cannot make a criminal law. I mean, the bottom line is if someone's harassing you to do something of their own, you need to be able to tell them to leave you alone and they should leave you alone. And I agree with you, Alberto, that I do think that if you're going to harass me, you can't profit off harming me.
Hold on. We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to note a moment in history when Anna agreed with Alberto.
That, I will tell you, I think maybe the second time.
I'm not taking that out.
I think that's perfect. I think I agreed with her once this episode too. So maybe we have turned a corner. There's so much to this case.
Are you saying Blake and Chris taught you and Anna like how to get along?
No, I boycotted that episode because so this case, obviously we don't know and it's still fresh this case is probably not going to go to trial for several months, probably even maybe a year, who knows, but it's intriguing. It raises a whole bunch of issues. I think it's a commentary on what we've gone to or
for our social
that's
media
also in an election year. Ooh, too, but that's
no but you're right, that has a lot to do with this, how you handle it. And this Commonwealth attorney is going to get hassled from both sides of the fence. I mean, you're going to have people saying, hey, charge this, charge that, don't charge that, don't charge this. And she's going to be she's always under the microscope anyway. So but essentially, so far from what I've read, I don't think she said anything bad, but the fact that she's saying anything to the media, I think it's a bad choice. I think she should be saying no comment. And I think the everyone involved should be saying no comment, including the father. That's my opinion. I'm going to end my thoughts by saying I don't like pranksters when they hurt individuals or make them feel uncomfortable physically. But I like when a prankster walks by a group of people and pretends to fart. I think that's hilarious.
Gross.
I'll end my thoughts by saying, I don't think what he did is a prank. I don't think I think pranks are funny and they're lighthearted. What he does is harass complete strangers. It makes them feel uncomfortable. And it gets very close to breaking the law in the sense of assault. If I don't know somebody and they're jumping in my space, I don't know what they're going to do. And I do think the criminal laws on the books are available to stop people from behaving in that way and to stalk them for those purposes. But at the same time, it's not a prank. It's not funny.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second and tell you that is 100% right. And I appreciate what you said. I think that's, you said that quite eloquently And by saying it's not a prank, you're 100. It's right. That's a complete difference. Now, and I think you're right. And that's the point I was missing. It's not a prank. It's not a prank. There's a difference between a prank and what happened with that guy. So that's why I was like, no, you're right. It's not a prank.
To our listeners, we just had to have Chris and Blake on to teach these two how to love each other again, and we're all good. But I'm going to take a different spin. I think that this case is a reminder that with social media, with videotaping and things becoming so public now, you could be being recorded at any time and your actions could be there forever, whether it's an instant thing, whether it's a planned thing, premeditated, doesn't really matter what it is. In this day and age, while Anna suggests to just assume in Virginia, everybody has a gun, I'm saying assume that you're being recorded everywhere because you are, and your decisions in that instant can lead to possible criminal charges or harm to somebody or whatever the case may be. And so just this reminder that we tell everybody, you got to be aware of your surroundings and understand that when you're out in a public setting or even in a private setting, when you have people over, you never know what's going on. And so just know that your actions could be documented in some way, whether it's text, video, whatever it is, or not text, I'm sorry, video or photos, and that that could come back to be used against you if it rises to something criminal or even some type of civil suit.
And I was going to make the exact same point. You have to believe me that I had this thought before you said it, but everybody has a phone with a camera. Everybody's filming everything. There are Ring cameras on everybody's front door. There are surveillance cameras everywhere. So what Anne said, I think, is completely accurate. You are always being recorded, whether you know it or not, whether or not it's a prankster or somebody who is harassing you, coming right up on you, or if they're just recording a street scene and you happen to walk through it. But I concur that you are always being recorded.
Anybody else?
That's it.
The end.
Thanks for joining us on Crime Time. Please join us again for our next episode.
If you enjoy our podcast, Crime Time, with Virginia defense attorneys, be sure to share our podcast with someone that you know. You can find our podcast on most of the major platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple, as well as some of the smaller podcast platforms. We also post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so you can find our episodes there every week on Tuesday at 9 a.m. If you want to leave us a review or a comment and tell us what topics you'd like to hear about, we always welcome feedback, and we're always looking for new ideas and guests to bring onto our show. We hope you keep listening, and thanks for being a supporter of our podcast.